Okay, so last week we started a great book called the Book of James, and we looked at four keys. I even brought them to you again. Four keys of finding joy in the midst of the trials. Do you remember that? Do you remember those four keys we have to count it all joy? Remember, that's that word to consider, to evaluate. We want to also to know that the testing of a trial produces perseverance or patience, and the correct knowledge and perspective makes the difference of everything. You remember how last week we talked about how outlook determines outcome. The third key is going to be to let patience have its perfect work in you. And let is that double-sided key that it starts off let. It's a surrendered will. It allows us to say, not my will, but thy will be done. James would say that wisdom from above is I love it. It's first pure, but it's also willing to yield. And also that word let, it means to hold, to possess, but to own. And I think sometimes in our trials, we want to rush it, don't we? Man, I just want to get out of this trial. And the Lord says, own it. Don't rush it. Own it. And then finally, the fourth key is to ask. Ask God. James would say that we have not because we ask not, but he also says to ask in faith. I think when we ask in faith, that means to ask expectantly. He's going to hear you. We need to recognize that no is an answer. I've never liked that answer a lot of times, but we're going to look at a true-to-life story today. As we looked at James, as we started James, I had to consider the season. And so we're going to look at a true-to-life story today at how to overcome obstacles and seasons of change, perspectives. And today we're going to look at the greatest story ever told, looking at these four key elements of finding joy. So if you would, we're going to actually turn back into the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at verse 1 and just join me as we look at how we see how Joseph and Mary had to deal with the trial that was placed before them. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it reads, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Both Joseph and Mary were in the line and lineage of David." There was this line already going there. Part of the requirement to be in the king was to be in the line of the king. But there was a problem. Right off the bat, we find a problem that Joseph was also in the line of Jehoiakim, who was actually a bloodline that was cursed by God. And he said that no one in your family will sit on the throne. Wow, how do we overcome that? Oh, well, God already had that together. He had a virgin birth. Though Jesus would be his eldest son, but he would be his stepson. Jesus' virgin birth solved and fulfilled the requirements of reigning on the throne, as well as prophecies of him being the son of Abraham and Judah and David. Verse 28 reads, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" How would you like that? You're maybe doing dishes and all of a sudden the door kicks in. Rejoice! Rejoice! Here he is. And it's interesting, in James chapter 1, we look at that, count it all joy, and we look at the root word for joy is kara, which comes from the word charis, which is, remember, what is that word? Grace. Well, this word rejoice is the same thing. It's kario. It's the same form. Grace. And here again, we see that. Remember how Jesus says, he who has been forgiven much loves much, and he links love and forgiveness. We see joy and grace being linked together. And he says, rejoice, grace, O highly favored one. Mary, you've been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. I mean, for us, we read this story every year, and it's kind of like, it is what it is. It's the season. But oh no, this was like what every young Hebrew girl dreamed of. Could she be the one? Could she be the one? Wow. Blessed are you among women. Now, again, as Protestants, we kind of sidestep that one, don't we? We kind of downplay the whole role of Mary because of the extreme of Mary worship that happens. But what it says right here is she is blessed among women. What a blessing to be the mother of the king. You know, it says that she ponders these things in her hearts, as I was reading that and just kind of going through the study, I thought 30-some years later at the cross, if she was going back pondering those things there and just putting these things together, here's my son, the Messiah, who's dying for me. It says she's blessed among women, but it doesn't say she's blessed above women. You see, Mary lifted womanhood. Isn't it interesting that wherever Jesus is preached, womanhood is lifted up? I mean, in all these different cultures and religions, and it just seems there's a suppression, but not with Jesus. I mean, we hear the words co-reign or joint heir. Isn't that wonderful? We reign together, and Mary is this highly favored one. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Notice Mary didn't fall down and worship this angel like John did in Revelation. She's got a little bit more sass than that. And she was troubled, but not at his sight. She wasn't afraid. She didn't go, ah, this big shining being. No, she was troubled at his saying. Why her? I mean, she was an insignificant, poor young woman. Why there? She lived in this little town of Nazareth. And does anything good come out of Nazareth? Why now? It's been 4,000 years since the proto-evangelical, or 1,000 years since the passing of the King David. And now, here it is. What a statement. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Don't be afraid. You found favor. Don't be afraid. You found favor. That word favor is the same word again for grace. Isn't that what Noah found in the eyes of the Lord? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like that. Here we just recognize this gift. It's just been freely given, unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's almost as if Gabriel answers the why her, why now, why there. Grace. Grace changes everything. When I look at my life, I just say, wow, the Lord is so gracious. As I look at the sea of faces, what I see represented here is God's grace, as he's called each one of you here. Interesting, that word grace is also translated favor. That word grace has also been translated as the word rejoice. That word grace has been translated as joy. Think of this for a minute. When God looks at you, he finds joy. He's so happy to see you. Isn't it wonderful to dedicate Larkin and Trinity and to stretch out and go, look at those kids. And you see, that's what God sees in us. He dances over us, Zephaniah says. He rejoices over us. He loves us. Joy. I think some of us need to hear that as we are looking maybe at Christmas time. Sometimes it's a difficult time of year for many families. But you know what? Rejoice. The Lord is with you. Rejoice. He looks at you and sees grace, favor, and joy. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Interesting, the use of the word conceive is in the middle voice. It means active or immediate. Had Gabriel said that you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, the way it's translated, Mary would have said, well, yeah, I'm a spouse to someone and I want a son. Thank you. That's a good word. But he said it in the tense that said, immediately you're going to conceive. Isn't that interesting? Right now. They weren't even married yet. And you should call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek translation for the name Joshua. Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves, or Yahweh Savior. We see this picture of Yahweh and Savior, the God man, fully God and fully man. I mean, no doubt Mary's head was spinning at this point. What is going on? Am I on candid camera? Is this for real? He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What an amazing description. As Mary is perplexed, she asks a simple, honest question. How can this be? How can this be, since I don't even know a man? I'm betrothed, but how can this be? And I don't think it was a question of doubt. As we read earlier here with Zacharias, he doubted, and the same angel caused him to be mute until the baby was born, until John was born. And Zacharias was saying, oh, it's too late. It's too late. And Mary says, it's too early. It's too early. Really? And it wasn't faithless. She needed more information. How can this be? And I love how Gabriel's so patient. I find the way I answer some of Daniel's questions, I use fewer words than when I answer Trinity's questions. With Daniel, it's figure it out or read the instructions. And I try to be a little more loving than that sometimes. But with Trinity, it's like, okay, get up here on my lap. All right, this is how it's done. And we go on. The older we get, we kind of have a little bit more expectation out of someone. And he kind of looks at Mary and he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, underline it, nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible. Gabriel tells Mary that this child will be holy. That's different for you and I. We see the word holy and we stop and we pause. But in this culture, holy was whole. You took a bath if you were unclean. There was total separation unto the Lord. And I make light of you know, man, it's regular coffee that's holy and to decaf. And that's not it at all. That's not at all. I was warned today that can offend people, so forgive me. From the bottom of my heart, you know, Jesus died for both regular coffee drinkers and decaf drinkers. I know he did. I know that. And I need you to know that I know that. This child would be holy. There would not be an earthly father. This child had to be holy. So it goes, wait a minute. What are you saying? Well, think with Isaiah, it said in chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There it is again, God with us. This child's going to be holy. separate, different than what you possibly can imagine. God declared in Genesis that the Messiah would come from the seed of a woman. It would be completely different than the workings of mankind. God had to step in. It had to be a miracle. This child had to be holy. You see, because mankind sinned in the garden, the sin gene or the sin virus is passed through the union of the man and the woman and the man and the woman. And so God eliminated that by just having God and the woman, and this thing was holy. He would be called the Son of God. Again, terminology different than what we talk about. We recognize in John 1:12, those who receive and believe, to them they've been given the right to be called the children of God. So blown away was John when he penned that in his epistle he said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we shall be called the sons of God." We take that so easily, but men and women were considered servants of God, and God dwelt in unapproachable light. And it's not that God didn't love mankind, but the relationship was different. It was Jesus who said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There's a whole new relationship. And then as Paul would write to the Galatians, he said, "Because your sons, the Father put the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father." Now just get that for a minute. How beautiful we see Jesus being spoken of here. This is a beautiful thing. But Paul says in Galatians, the Father wants the same relationship with you. And he's put his Spirit of his Son in you and in me. Amazing. Amazing. We're called sons of God. He is called the Son of God. Don't understand that terminology. And then finally, he validates this power of the highest. And Gabriel declares that Elizabeth, who was barren, is now going to be with child. He takes another impossibility and says, check this out. She is 6 months pregnant already. And she goes, no way. And he said, Yahweh, he can do it. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't know what trial you're in or coming out of or going into, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for God. And it's as if for a minute she stands just a little bit straighter as she locks eyes with Gabriel. She stands a little bit taller because first she was troubled, but now she's called, and all of a sudden something's lining up, and she stands up and looks him square in the eye, and she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. He didn't need to stick around. He knew she got it. She's got it. He brought the message. She reiterated back to her, goes, "Okay, my job is done here." But look at this. Look at the way she says this. In today's English, she would say, "Look at me. I am a woman of the Most High King. May it be done to me as you've said. Look at me." And I find myself saying to my kids when I'm talking to them, "Hey, look at me right here." Or at Good News Club, it's 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And she says, "Look at me." And that sounds brave, doesn't it? Mighty, look at me. I am a servant of the King. But it was also a very humbling statement, because what she has to do now is she is taking her dreams, her aspirations, and putting them on hold and placing them on the altar of sacrifice and saying, "Not my will, thy will be done." Because she's opening up herself to be misunderstood. She's opening up the idea that people would look at her completely different. I mean, following Jesus is the greatest thing you can ever do, but may I just tell you, it's not easy. It's so rewarding, but it's not easy. He calls her, he calls you and I to something greater than us. Misunderstanding, suspicion. She'd be willing to give up her future husband, her reputation, her friends, and her family, all for the sake of following the Lord and being in the hand of the Lord. When the Lord calls me, when the Lord calls you, and he calls us to that chosen ministry, can we say the same? Look at me. I am a servant of the Most High God, and all that I am belongs to him. It's no longer I that live, but he lives within me. And the life that I live, I live in faith of him who died for me, who gave himself up for me. That's what she's saying here. And you go, yeah. Oh, yeah, my heart leaps for joy. No wonder when she came to Elizabeth's house that Elizabeth said, whoa, my baby leaped in my womb. Why? Because the king is here. Guys, can I just tell you something? The king is here. The king is in the house. Jesus would echo Mary's words in Matthew 19. The disciples said, hey, Lord, we've left everything. Our family, our houses, we left it all. And Jesus says, everyone who's left house or brothers or sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. It's almost as if he says, I've got your back. Don't worry about it. I've got it. Press on. Press on, Christian. Press on. Remembering the four keys to find joy is counting and knowing, letting and asking, recognizing that outlook will determine outcome. You are a child, a servant of the Most High God. Press on. Now, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias. She probably said, hey, Zacharias. He went, mm-hmm. And she greeted Elizabeth, and Mary remained there about 3 months and returned to her house. Now, how long was Elizabeth when the angel announced it? 6 months. So she was there for 3 more months. It could very well that she was helping out with the childbirth. Imagine that. She was learning motherhood hands-on. I find that great. She's finding joy here. Well, the story shifts a little bit as we turn our pages to Matthew chapter 1, because we go and we look at Joseph. And how does Joseph deal with the good news? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 reads, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And you can hear that record go, what? She was found with child. Now we get to look at how Joseph is going to bear the hardship. He would have to find joy through the seemingly hardest test of all. His betrothed wife was found pregnant. Talk about a test. He must have been heartbroken. People would either think they didn't wait and they were living a sinful life, or maybe they were looking at Joseph going, what, are you going to take her now? She's damaged goods. What was going through that guy's head and his heart? It goes on to say, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, highlight that. Joseph is such a just man, he disappears from the story eventually. John says, I must decrease, that he would increase. Joseph says, I've just got to disappear from the pages because it's not about me. It's not my ministry. It's about him. He's a just man. And not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Two more things to underline, minded and thought. Was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord came. He obviously was thinking about this over and over and over and over again. I can't believe this is happening to me. What's going on? Did she even love me? Why? Why now? We were right there. What was she doing at Elizabeth's house? Were there chaperones over there? And sometimes when we're hurt, don't we play that video and we stop, rewind it, and what do? We play it again. Stop, rewind it, and we play it again. Oh, it hurts. And we listen to it again and over and over and over. I think this is why the angel had to speak to him, or the Lord had to speak to him in a dream, because finally he wasn't thinking. Now the Lord got, good gravy. Now I can talk some sense into this boy. He had every right to divorce her, every right to stone her, to publicly humiliate her. But he was a just man. I think that's why Paul tells us in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. No more of the stinking thinking. Lift your eyes up, for your salvation is nigh. We sometimes just stay there, and we can't stay there. Though he was minded to put her away secretly, he was thinking. And finally, in a dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The first key that he needed to unlock that trial, to find joy, was to count, to consider, to evaluate that circumstance. What's going on? The angel of the Lord said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did you see that? Joseph, son of David, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. Christian, in your trial, don't forget who you are. Don't blow your witness because you're upset. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Son of David, don't be afraid. Apparently, he was a little afraid. Afraid of maybe his reputation, her reputation. Afraid if, would the child look like him? The second key is to know. To know. Correct knowledge and perspective makes the difference. And the Lord had to reveal it to him. You and I won't always know why. But we don't have to be afraid. That's why he says, don't be afraid, Joseph. We don't always know why. You see, it's God's peace that passes. His peace passes. We won't always know, but we don't have to be afraid. See, true love casts out fear. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord's in control. His peace will pass understanding. He needs to know he doesn't have to be afraid. This is bigger than him. He needs to understand that the Lord's at work. Sometimes in our trial that we're in, we have to realize, you know what? It may not even be about me. It may be for somebody else. I'm walking the trial for George. I love you, man. This is for him. I don't need to know why, but I need to know I don't have to be afraid, because God's in the house and he's going to take care of me. Verse 22 and 23 says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The third key is let. Surrender. This is bigger than you, Joseph. Own it. Walk through it. Joseph, this is fulfillment of prophecy. Joseph, you're going to be changing the diapers of the Messiah. Joseph, you're going to teach him a trade. Joseph. Wow. Joseph, too, would surrender his ambition and reputation. Joseph, too, would surrender those things as he would finally yield to what God wants him to do. You know, I think it's so great when we finally yield. I was thinking back of Mary and Elizabeth for those 3 months as she's watching this happen. And you know there's laughter when there's pregnancy. People are excited. Isn't it great to know that you're in the hand of the living God? Wow. And Joseph recognized that. Mary and Elizabeth recognized that. And finally, Joseph is getting it. Yes, I am right where I am supposed to be. Though it's raining cats and dogs out there, I am right where I'm supposed to be. Guys, you are where you're supposed to be right now. Do you know that? Just receive that. God's in control and you are with him. He is with you. You're right where you're supposed to be. And Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Find the last key of finding joy is to ask God. Ask in faith and ask expectantly. We know that Joseph is a just man. We highlighted that. You highlighted that, right? He was a just man, but he was also a man of prayer. It wasn't just a monologue of Joseph saying, Lord, help me, and Lord this, and Lord that, but it was a dialogue where he would hear from the Lord, and he over and over again, he would take that child over to Egypt, or he'd go over here listening to the Lord, talking to the Lord, dialoguing with the Lord, moving with the Lord. He was a praying man. We're a praying church. As Michael was saying earlier today, 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, join us. That's where the battle's being fought. The battle is waged from 9 to 9:45. We're praying for you guys. We're praying that the Lord is ministering to you. We're praying for saints out in the community. And then after the church, we're a praying church. We meet up here. The elders spend time up here longing to impart to you the blessings of the Lord, to pray with you, to agree with you. So many things we forfeit because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask, and Joseph asks. You see, the interesting thing is the more we're obedient to God as he's directing us like Joseph, the more we grow and mature. But the beautiful thing is the more I listen and the more he speaks, the more I'm obedient, the more he talks to me. And the more I continue on, the more he talks. You want a healthy walk with the Lord? Just be obedient to those nudgings that he has in your life. When he tells you to get up in the morning and pray at the couch, or to walk around the block, or whatever might seem crazy, you don't know what the Lord is doing at that time. Simply be obedient to it. Simply be obedient to it. What I really like about the way this story ends, he says, and he called his name Jesus. You know, it was the right of the father to name his son. He could have named him after himself. He could have just said, you know what? Like Frank Sinatra, I'm going to do it my way. But he didn't. Even as Zacharias would say, no, his name is John, Joseph said, his name is Jesus. God with us. Yahweh saves. I love that. I scratch at the bottom of my notes here. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Find joy this season of your trial. Know the perspective. Let patience have its perfect work in your life and continue to ask God for wisdom and guidance through it all. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Father, we come before you this morning recognizing that you love us so much you can't take your eyes off of us. And I'm amazed. I am humbled and I fall on my face and I just say, woe is me, I am undone. I feel like Peter, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And you say, son, you call me child. Lord, this Christmas season, the world says holiday. We turn around and say, oh no, Merry Christmas. This Christmas season, may we have joy. It might be a difficult time, but we can have joy in it. Let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Rejoice, Christian. Rejoice. And all God's people said,